I'm sure this morning's gospel lesson was familiar to many of you. In it, Luke shares with us his understanding of mission, what it is, how it should be done, by whom it should be undertaken, and to whom it should be extended. Only shortly before in the story, in chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, Jesus has commissioned the 12 disciples using words almost identical to those he uses in the passage we heard this morning. Initially the 12, but now the 70, or 72 according to some interpretations. They're sent out to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal those whom they meet who are receptive to their message. They're not to take along provisions. They're not to plan ahead or shop around for the best place to stay or to linger to catch up on the latest gossip. They're to offer God's peace and healing as they stay where they're welcomed, and they are nevertheless to proclaim God's kingdom even if they're turned away at the door. As with many other passages in the Bible, Luke's use of numbers has more than a surface meaning. We easily recall that 12 corresponds to the tribes of Israel, but did you remember that 70, or there again, 72, depending on the manuscript, correspond to the table of nations found in Genesis 10, 2 through 31? These earliest missionaries have a message for the entire world. They're to go forth in pairs for several reasons. Two can provide mutual support for each other. The Deuteronomic standard for bearing witness to the truth of testimony is a minimum of two. And not insignificantly, the two traveling together provide a living embodiment of the gospel of God's peace. And though they're traveling with a companion, they're not necessarily traveling in comfort or ease. They're to take nothing with them. They're not to be distracted from their purpose by casual interruptions, nor are they to seek out the best accommodations. No, they're to remain open to life, to be in no way insulated from the worst or the best they may encounter. They're to depend upon the hospitality of those whom they meet, and they're to trust God to provide for them as they focus on the making manifest of the kingdom through preaching and the curing of the ill. It's only through this single-minded and single-hearted focus that they'll be able to truly share God's peace as they meet people wherever they are in their lives, rich or poor, sick or well, in need or in abundance. And though the missionaries aren't supposed to linger and chat along the path, they're to be extremely gracious once they arrive at their destinations, as they're to proclaim God's peace upon the household. It's at this point that the householder has the option to welcome or dismiss the missionaries. If welcomed, the missionaries are to remain at this house preaching and curing. If turned away, the missionaries are still obligated to proclaim the nearness of the coming of the kingdom and warn the householder of the consequences of their breach of hospitality. But they're not to remain in an exaggerated attempt at convincing the householder of the truth of their message. As Jesus reminds them, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." In their vulnerability and poverty, the 70 permit those with whom they reside to give of their own lives. Here, the 70 are learning firsthand about the mutuality of God's realm, accepting gifts from others, giving what they have to share. In their example, they flesh out what God's peace means not only in their own vulnerability and openness, but also in their acts of power and words of good news. This peace is not the Pax Romana enforced with garrisons and weapons. It's the freely offered gift of God that proclaims God's love and welcome, but accepts rejection. The 70 return from their travels rejoicing in the success of their mission, Even demons submit in Jesus' name. It's difficult to fault Jesus for reminding them to keep things in perspective, that they shouldn't be crowing over the power they've been given, that they've triumphed over much that threatens the embodiment of God's kingdom, but rather they should really be celebrating the gift of life they themselves have in God. But this all took place a long time ago, before there was the church, right? There were no mass media outlets to spread the news. There were no internet websites with the message available at the click of the mouse. And there were no televangelists broadcasting to all countries in the world. So people had to go out in person, right? Good story, but not really relevant to us in the 21st century, right? No, not right at all. Nowhere close. The mission and how we're to undertake it is still the same. In this model of mission, we as Christians are called to live out the good news of God's realm by first admitting our own neediness, that is, not going about padded and protected, and then identifying with the people with whom we hope to share the good news, bringing Christ to them as a guest first, the one who accepts and eats their food in thanksgiving. This openness to others may then create the opportunity for healing and finally proclaiming. What the 70 accomplish is dictated by the people whom they approach and their needs. This mission is not a one-size-fits-all mission applied to people like jam on a piece of toast. From our own vulnerability, we come to know the humanity of others and to build the trust that invites others to reveal that which needs healing as we reveal our needs and to create the space for profound conversation about the ultimate. Those early 70 left an army of laborers planting for the final harvest in their wake. We're not only fruits of that early labor, fruit of their seeding, nurturing, and harvesting, but we're called into their mission of being laborers ourselves, as we, you and I, are the envoys who are now sent out by Jesus to proclaim and embody, to the extent we are able, the closeness of the kingdom of God. We're to offer God's peace to the householders, those with whom we live and work, and witness to their healing by God's welcomed presence in their lives. There's much discussion these days about mission in the wider church. What programs are successful? What type of outreach works? What demographic we want to capture? All those sort of things. This is the greeting people along the road of which Jesus warns us. It's allowing ourselves to be distracted from the real and only mission, that of meeting God's people where they are, sharing God's peace and good news with them, and witnessing to their cures through the embodiment of the kingdom in their changed lives. This is message enough to recruit new laborers and to grow the church. This morning, when you hear, "Let us go out into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit," recognize what it really means and do your best to be one of the 70. Amen.